welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, sitcoms of the past. Later, we'll hear the famous Ozzie and Harriet. But right now, it's the adventures of Archie Andrews, from the comic book to your theater of the mind. This NBC broadcast from December 13, 1947, the Christmas shopping episode.
Jughead, it's a matter of life or death.
Relax, Archie. Relax.
Yes, here he is again. The youngster millions of readers of Archie Comics magazine know and love so well. Brought to you by Swift & Company, makers of Swift Premium Franks and Swift Brookfield Sausage. Archie Andrews and all his gang.
Listen. Hear that, folks? You're listening to the actual sound of two delicious links of Swift Brookfield sausage sizzling in the skillet. And now for our weekly visit to Riverdale. It's Saturday afternoon as we look in on the Andrews home, and at the moment we find Mr. Andrews alone in the living room, sitting in his favorite armchair, reading the newspaper.
I'm scolding my little son for reaching for the cake. I said he would have to be more mannerly if he asked if someone to pass the cake to him. He replied, "Oh, Mommy, what does manners get you?" Every time Daddy gets polite in the train or bus, it costs him his seat. Yes, dear.
Telephone's ringing.
Yeah, I hear it.
Well, answer it.
Well, Mary, I'm reading
Fred.
My... Yes, dear, I'll answer it. Mumble fine singer. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Yes.
Mrs. Veronica, is Archie home?
Oh, hello, Veronica. Yes, Archie's home. Did you want to talk to him?
No, I don't.
All right, I'll call it. Oh, you don't?
That's right. I'd rather you just gave him a message for me.
Oh, of course, Veronica. What is it?
Well, Archie was supposed to come over here this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
Yes?
But ask him to make it 4 o'clock instead.
4 o'clock instead.
I'm going down to Stacy's department store to do some Christmas shopping this afternoon.
All right, Veronica, I'll tell him.
Thank you, Miss Andrews. Oh, but don't tell him I'm going shopping. You see, it's for his present. Just tell him the part about changing the date from 3 to 4.
All right, Veronica, I'll tell him.
Thanks ever so much, Miss Andrews. Bye.
Bye. George, it's a good thing Veronica called. I'd forgotten all about Christmas shopping, and I still don't have anything for Mary or Archie. I'd better get my hat and get down to Stacy's right now. This is the last chance I'll have. Oh, fine.
Hey,
Ed. Yes, dear?
Doorbell's ringing.
I hear it, dear. I hear it.
Oh, all right, dear.
All right, dear. All right. I never have a chance to talk. Oh, good grief. Jughead.
Who'd you expect? Jersey Joe Wilcox?
No, Jughead, and I don't want to fight with you either. I'm in a hurry.
Hiya, Jug. What are you doing here?
Oh, hi, Archie. I came over to see what you're doing.
Well, I was...
Oh, Archie, Veronica just called.
She did?
Yes, Archie, she did. And she
said... I never heard the phone ring.
Well, it rang.
And well, Veronica, why didn't you tell me?
Archie.
Yes, Dad?
Do you care to hear what Veronica said or not?
Well, sure, Dad, sure.
Then be quiet and I'll tell you.
Okay, Dad, okay.
She said she said to change your appointment with her from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
From 3 to 4?
Yes, an hour later.
She was, I wonder why.
Well, she had some things to attend to and I'm going out. I'll see you later.
Yeah, okay, Dad, goodbye.
Bye, Mr. Andrews.
She was, that's great.
Huh?
Well, now that Veronica's made our date an hour later, I have time to get my Christmas shopping done.
But
this is practically the last chance I'll have.
But
it's a good thing I thought of it.
But
I haven't bought a thing for anyone yet.
Including me?
Including you.
Archie, it's time you did your Christmas shopping.
That's right, Jug. Come on, we'll go right down to Stacy.
Oh, what are you going to get me, huh?
Jug, you'll just have to...
When I call, I think that... Well, that's funny. She's gone.
Oh, for pity's sake.
Hello.
Hello, Mrs. Andrews. This is Betty.
Oh, hello, dear. How are you?
Fine, thanks, Mrs. Andrews. Is Archie home?
Yes, dear. I think he's upstairs. Archie! Archie! funny. He must have gone out, too. I wish people would tell me when they're going out. Hello, Betty.
Yes, Mrs. Andrews?
Archie doesn't seem to be home, dear.
Oh, he isn't?
No, dear. And, Betty, I hate to cut you short, but I have to run now. I'm just leaving to do my Christmas shopping.
Oh, golly, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mrs. Andrews. I haven't done my shopping yet, either.
Oh, you haven't? Well, would you like to go with me, dear?
Oh, I'd love to, Mrs. Andrews.
All right. I'll pick you up right away, and we'll go down to Stacy's.
Such crowds.
Yes, Jughead, but when we got in that elevator and everyone started pushing, did you have to push back?
Listen, Archie, in that crowd, even a sardine would have pushed back.
Well, never mind. We're here now, and the first thing I want to buy is a compact for Veronica. I wonder where the cosmetic department is.
Cosmetic department?
Yeah.
Here it is, Archie. Let's go up to the toy department first.
Jug, I told you we'll go up to the toy department later. Now, come on, I'll ask that floor walker where the cosmetic department is.
Gee whiz, okay.
Oh, mister.
Yes, yes.
Could you tell me where the cosmetic department is, please?
Yes, counter 7.
Thank you. Come on, Jug.
Where is it?
Counter 7.
Where's that?
Gee, I don't know. Oh, mister.
Yes.
Where is counter 7?
On the north side of counter 6.
Oh, thank you. I'll just see. Mister?
Well, what now?
Which way is north?
Oh, my land. Sonny, you see the boys' clothing department right there?
Yes.
Well, go right down on that aisle where the dummies are and turn right.
Oh, okay, mister. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Yes, madam. Can I help you?
Where do you say it is, Archie?
Right down at the next aisle, Jug. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Boy, he's sure not a very friendly floor walker.
Maybe his wife beats him.
I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, what was that?
You bumped into that dummy.
Oh, gee whiz, I knocked the hat off. For a minute, I thought that dummy was a real person. Wait a second, Jug, till I put the hat back on.
Okay.
If that floor walker ever saw me fooling around this dummy, he'd probably throw us out of the store or something.
Gee whiz.
What's the matter?
There's Veronica.
Veronica? Oh, gee whiz, I don't want her to see me here.
She's coming right towards us.
Oh, boy. Jug, I'm going to be a dummy.
Huh?
I'm going to climb up on this platform with the rest of these dummies, and I'll wear this hat.
But, Archie,
oh,
you
Jug,
can't
don't
do that.
Argue. Don't argue. Here. How do I look?
You're the most natural-looking dummy I ever saw.
Don't be funny, Jug, and put that price tag on me, quick.
Okay. Here.
Attaboy. Now, remember, don't give me away no matter what happens.
Well, okay, but...
What, Jughead?
Oh. Hi, Veronica.
What y'all doing here?
Ooh. Just a little shopping.
Oh, I am, too. Thank goodness I have most of it done.
Oh, that's good.
Only thing I still have to get is a gift for Archie.
Archie?
Uh-huh. But I don't know what to get him. He's such a problem.
Yeah, he sure is.
I can't get him a book or anything because he's not the intelligent type. I can't get him a baseball glove or anything because he's not much of an athlete. Can't get him a tie or anything because he just doesn't know anything about style. In fact, sometimes I think Archie is an awful dummy. But then again, with prices being what they are, there isn't very much you can get for a dollar. Did you say something, Jughead?
Me? Not a word, Veronica, not a word.
Oh, well, I better go get some more shopping done. Would you like to come along?
Oh, I... No, Veronica, I can't. I'm meeting someone here in a minute.
Oh, well, I'll run along then. Bye now, Jughead.
Bye, Veronica. Bye. Okay, dummy, you can relax now.
A fine thing, a fine thing. Jughead, help me down off this platform. I've got...
He was not now.
Huh?
Here comes a floor walker.
Oh, boy. I better be a dummy some more.
Yes, madam. You can return at any time. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, me. Never have I seen such a rush. Never in all my... Land sakes. Who put that dummy here?
Oh, boy.
Oh, if that isn't the silliest looking dummy I've ever seen. I don't know why that stockroom can't send one that looks at least half alive. I have never seen one with such an insipid expression. And such a ridiculous posture.
Mister.
Yes?
I'm not really a dummy.
That makes absolutely no difference. They still shouldn't. Oh, good heavens, you're alive.
Uh-huh.
Oh, for pity's sake. Young man, come down off there.
Yes, sir.
Well, just what were you doing on that platform looking like a dummy?
Well, that's a long story, sir. You see,
oh,
I was...
Oh, good heavens, young man. Will you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
As soon as you've paid for that jacket, leave the store.
Huh?
I said as soon as you've finished buying that jacket...
This jacket?
Yes, that jacket with the price tag on it. You're buying it, aren't you?
But this is my jacket.
Your jacket? Hmm. You have the sales slip?
Well, no, I bought it here last year.
And you haven't removed the price tag yet?
Removed the price... Oh, mister, you don't understand.
Young man, I understand perfectly. The price is $14.95, and I want it right now.
Oh, but mister,
I said.
But you don't understand. This is my own jacket. No fooling. Jughead, tell the man this is my jacket, and... Jughead?
Young man, are you calling me names?
Oh. No, sir. I was talking to my friend.
What friend?
Well, that's just it. He was here a minute ago. I bet he went up to the toy department. Mister, if you'd just come up to the toy department, we can find my friend and he'll tell
young
you that...
Young man,
that
I am not going up to the toy department or anywhere else until I have the $14.95 for that jacket.
But that's all the money I have and I just... Oh, wait a minute.
Beg pardon?
I know. Mister, if I paid you for this jacket, you'd give me a sales slip and then I could take it over to the exchange department and get my money back, couldn't I?
Yes, you like.
Oh, well, in that case, it's all right. I haven't anything to worry about. Here's the money.
Yeah, thank you. And here's your sales slip.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Good day, sir.
Good day. Guess I fooled him. Yes, sir, it's a good thing I think fast. For a minute there, it looked like I wouldn't have any Christmas money. But now all I have to do is take this coat and go to the exchange counter and give them this jacket, and then I'll... Gee whiz. If I do, I won't have any jacket left. Oh, boy, how do I get into these things?
Well, now, let's see. First thing I better do is get that bottle of perfume for Mary. Ah, here's the perfume counter right here. Let's see now, what kind should I get her? Well, they certainly have quite an assortment. Chase Me, $25. Hide and Seek, $32. Wallflower, No More, $40. I never smelled anything worth that kind of money. Oh, here's another one. Evening in Riverdale, $10. Well, that's a little better. I think Mary likes this perfume. That's just what I'll get her. Oh, miss, I'll take this bottle.
Hey, where's Mr. Andrews?
Well, Jughead, hello. What are you doing here?
Oh, hello, stranger. I'm looking for Archie.
I thought you were with Archie.
Well, I was, but he just...
Well, I'm trying to get one of these sales girls to wait on me here, but they're all so busy.
He is.
You know, what's the matter?
There's Mrs. Andrews.
Mary? Where?
Right over there.
Oh, good grief. If she sees me with this bottle of perfume, she'll know what I'm getting her for Christmas.
She's coming this way.
Yes, I know. I see her. I'll just duck the bottle in my pocket. There, right in this pocket. Now she sees me.
Just a moment, please.
Yeah?
I saw that.
Saw what? Oh. 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 Oh, now, mister, you don't understand. You don't understand.
Oh,
at all.
I don't.
No,
you... Did you or did you not just had a bottle of perfume in your pocket?
Well, yes, but...
Have you paid for it?
Well, no, but...
Well, I don't know what you call it, but we call it shoplifting.
Yes, of course, it's shoplifting. Oh, now, wait a minute, mister. I can explain the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
Well, you see, I've been trying to get one of the sales girls to wait on me, and I just saw my wife over there, and I hid the bottle because I didn't want her to know what I'm getting her for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Just where is your wife?
Well, she was right over... Oh, good heavens, she's gone.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, but she was right there. Jughead, tell the man how we saw my wife. Well, now, where did he go to?
Who?
Jughead. He was standing right here just a second ago. I don't know where he...
Mister.
Could... Huh?
Do you imagine these things very often?
Imagine what?
Do you have delusions?
But, Jack Bell.
Oh,
you
but I
spots
just...
before your eyes. Now, keep calm, keep calm. No need to get excited. Just give me back the perfume, and we'll forget the whole thing, and you can go right home and lie down.
Lie down? But who was
the
lie...
The perfume, please.
Yes, sir, I have it right in my...
Something wrong?
It leaked.
What leaked?
The perfume bottle. It leaked all over my pocket. See, it's half empty.
Oh, for land's sake. Now you'll have to pay for it.
What?
That's right. I was going to forget the whole incident, but I can't return a damaged bottle to the counter.
Well, I'm certainly not going to pay for a leaky bottle of perfume.
Mister, if you're not satisfied with the item, you can take it to the exchange department, but I must be paid for it.
But...
I said I must.
Oh, me. You win. I'll go to the exchange department, but how I get into these things, I'll never know.
Bathrobe do you like best, Betty?
The dark blue one, I think.
I do, too. Blue is Aunt Hattie's favorite color.
Oh, but is it her size, Mrs. Andrews?
Well, there's only one way to tell, Betty. I'll have to try it on.
Try it on?
Uh-huh. I wear the same size that Aunt Hattie does, and if it fits me, it'll fit her. Here, hold my coat, dear, while I step into this dressing room and put this bathrobe on.
Oh, all right, Mrs. Andrews.
It'll just take me a second, dear. I'd hate to go to all the trouble of buying this and sending it to Hattie and then not have it fit.
Uh-huh.
Then I'd only have to return it for her since she lives out of town. Oh, dear.
What is it?
There's no hanger in here for my dress.
Oh, well, hand it to me, Mrs. Andrews. I'll hold it.
All right, dear. Here you are.
I have it.
Oh, thank you, dear. I'll have this robe on in just a minute. There.
Oh, how's it look, Betty? Well, it looks a little big to me.
It does? Well, I better take a look in this mirror. Oh, Betty, you don't have to hold my coat and dress. Just put them on that empty rack.
Oh, all right, Mrs. Andrews.
Now, let's see. Yes, it is a little big.
Yes, it is.
I'll have to ask the sales girl if she has a smaller size. You wait here, Betty.
Oh, miss, do you have...
Gee whiz, Betty.
Jughead, what are you doing here?
Looking for Archie.
Archie, is he here?
Well, I think so. We came here together, but we got separated.
Oh, well, where'd you see him last?
On the dummy platform.
What?
Well, you see, he was being a dummy.
What?
A dummy. You know, the kind that looks like this.
Jug, what are you talking about?
Excuse me, mister. Got to move this rack.
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, Mo. Get the other end there.
Got it.
Easy now.
Got it.
Hold on.
Jughead, what are you trying to tell me about Archie?
Betty, it's an awful long story. All I want to know is, have you seen him?
No, I haven't.
Well, then I better keep looking. He may be in trouble.
What kind of trouble?
I can't tell you now, Betty. See you later. Bye.
But, Jug, wait. Jug. Oh, golly, that Jughead, he's the strangest
Betty,
person.
How do you like this bathrobe?
Oh, that's fine, Mrs. Andrews, but I just...
This size does fit much better, doesn't it, dear?
Yes, Mrs. Andrews, but I just...
Betty!
What happened to it? What happened to what?
The rack.
What rack?
The rack you put my dress on.
Oh, golly, I don't know.
But my dress and coat were on it.
Oh, golly, it was here a minute ago.
My dress? But, Betty, what do I do?
Something wrong, madam?
Yes, I lost my dress.
I beg you. Beg your pardon.
My dress. We put it down here for a minute while I tried on this bathrobe, and now it's gone.
The bathrobe?
No, the dress.
But it couldn't be.
But it is, isn't it, Betty?
Oh, yes, indeed, Mrs. Andrews.
Oh, my land. I have never seen such a day. Living dummies, men hiding from their wives, and now this woman loses her dress.
But I tell you, it was right under my nose.
I should hope so.
Well, do something. Do something.
Madam, what can I do about your dress?
Find it.
Now, madam, be calm, be calm. It was probably taken by mistake, and it'll be turned into the lost and found department.
Well, where's that?
At the other end of the floor next to the exchange department.
Come on, Betty.
Madam, where are you going?
To the lost and found department.
But, madam, certainly not in our bathrobe.
Well, certainly not without it. Come on, Betty, we'll go see if they have my dress. How these things happen to me, I'll never know.
Why, Archie Andrews, hello there.
Gee whiz, hello, Mr. Sherry.
Hey, what are you doing waiting in this line?
Well, this is the line to the exchange counter, Jerry.
Exchanging something?
Yeah, my own coat.
What?
Well, it's too long a story to explain now, Mr. Sherry, but boy, buying Christmas presents sure is a problem.
It certainly is, Archie. Look at the packages I'm loaded down with. Presents for my nephews and nieces and one for the little boy.
Oh, Archie, I've been looking everywhere for you.
Oh, hiya, Judge. Yes, Mr. Sherry, what about the little boy?
Archie, I just saw him.
Jughead, please be quiet. Mr. Sherry is telling me who all his packages are for. Go on, Mr. Sherry.
Well, this one is a fire engine for the little boy next door.
Oh.
This is a doll for his sister. Well, I better run along now. See you later, Archie. Bye, Jug.
Bye, Mr. Sherry.
Archie.
Yes, Jug. Now, can I tell you who I met?
Yes, Jug.
Well, first I ran
into... Archie, what in tarnation are you doing here?
She was dead. Where'd you come from?
Never mind where I came from. But, Archie, what are you doing standing here in your shirt sleeves?
Well, Dad, I can explain. You see, I came over...
What are you doing here?
Mary, what are you doing in your bathrobe?
Oh, it's not my bathrobe, but... Fred Andrews, you smell.
What?
You positively reek of perfume.
Oh.
Now.
Yes, I do, don't I? You see, dear,
Andrews, what are you doing here?
Veronica.
Jughead, why didn't you tell me Archie was here?
Well, Veronica, I
thought seems to be the trouble here.
Oh, the floor walker. Mister, I'm trying to find out why my son is standing here in his shirt sleeves.
Please, there's no need to get...
And I want to know why you smell of perfume.
Lady, and what are you doing in that bathroom?
Mister, please don't...
I was changing my own coat.
Honey, just...
Why did you get here, Archie?
Come on, girlie.
Why? 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 Why?
Why? Why?
Why?
Why? Why?
Why? Why?
Why?
Why?
Why? Why? Why? Why? Why? That's better. Now listen to me, all of you. This nonsense has gone far enough. Too far, in fact.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
Yes, dear.
Yes, Dad.
It certainly has.
But
all afternoon, you people have made my life quite miserable for me. Quite miserable.
Yes, sir.
Now, if there's any reason for it, I feel I'm entitled to an explanation.
Well, mister, you know the coat, the one you thought I was buying?
Yes.
Well, my mother and father and Jughead and Veronica can all identify it as my old coat.
Well, of course that's Archie's coat.
Oh, goodness,
I know that's his coat.
Oh, dear. You mean it really is?
Yes. And maybe you'll recall that you didn't believe my wife was in the store when I hid the perfume bottle in my pocket.
Well, yes, I...
Well, this is my wife.
Oh, how do you do? I'm very sorry.
And I just found out that two of your men moved an empty rack while I was talking to Jughead here, didn't they, Jughead?
Sure they did.
And that was the rack that had my dress and coat on it.
Well, Mr. Floorwalker, what do you say to that?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you say to that?
Please. No tempers, please. No tempers, no tempers.
Well,
the customer's always right at jail. Baby, we'll make amends. Mistakes will happen, you know. Young man, since that does seem to be your own coat, you may keep it, and I'll give you a cash credit slip for what you paid me.
Thank you.
And you, sir?
Yes.
I'll be glad to give you another bottle of perfume. Compliments of the store.
Well, that's better.
And, madam, I'm sure we can find your dress and coat in the lost and found department, and you may keep that bathrobe at no charge.
Well, thank you.
I'm here, too.
Doug, shut up.
Well, people, that satisfy you?
Well, yes, I think that straightens everything out all right. I'm sorry there's been so much misunderstanding.
Quite all right. Quite all right.
And now, folks, if everything's settled, let's stop hiding from each other and get this Christmas shopping over and done with once and for all.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
Yes, dear.
Yes, Dad.
All right. Now, what was that?
5:00. Thank heaven. Store's closing. You folks will all have to come back next Monday.
Oh, come back?
Monday!
You mean we got to go tomorrow again?
Now, back to the Andrews. It's Monday night as we look in on the Andrews home, and the family has just come home from Stacy's department store.
Oh, Mary, it certainly is good to be home.
Oh, it certainly is.
And how? You know, I'm dead.
Oh, I am too, dear. I've never seen such a mob.
Me too. But at least we got all our shopping done. And you know, Mary, if I never set foot in a crowded store again, it'll be too soon.
Oh, gee whiz.
Well, what is it, Archie?
This letter from Uncle George.
Oh?
Uncle George?
Uh-huh.
He sent us a $50 gift certificate from J.L. Stacy's department store.
Oh, no! You've been listening to another chapter of The Adventures of Archie Andrews, written by Carl Zampel, and based on the copyrighted feature appearing in Archie Comics magazine. Archie was played by Bob Hastings. Jughead was Harlan Stone. Mom and Dad Andrews were played by Alice Shoreman and Arthur Cole. Veronica and Betty by Gloria Mann and Rosemary Rice. The floor walker was Ray Hedge.
Archie Andrews on Tuned to Yesterday, geared toward the teenage population of radio listeners, that from December 13th, 1947 on NBC. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier, and now one of America's favorite families, not only on radio, but also on the small screen, it's The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. Part of ABC's Friday night lineup at 9 o'clock, 10 million people were tuned into this episode called Trying to Make Change from April 25th, 1952.
Hi, everybody. This is Harriet Nelson. Here's a word of advice to all mothers. Do you have trouble getting your boys to come to lunch on time? Well, here's something that works great at our house. David, Ricky, first call for lunch. We're having Heinz cream of tomato soup. Here we are, Mom. See what I mean?
Look in at the Nelson household and see what they have on tap for us this week. I don't see Ozzie and Harriet anyplace, but there's David and Ricky. Now, David's stretched out on the floor taking it easy, and Ricky seems to be reading the funnies to him.
Then in the last box, the captain says, "Und now gives a good spanking for pulling the inspector's beard."
And what is Rollo saying?
Ha, ha, ha.
Now read me Terry and the Pirates.
Oh, come on, David. Read them yourself.
Don't be so ungrateful. I used to read them to you, didn't I?
Yeah, but that was before I could read. Besides, I have to make out my report.
What report?
We have a club meeting tonight. I'm the treasurer.
Big deal. What do you need a treasurer for? You kids don't have any money.
That's how much you know about it.
How much you got in the treasury?
We got plenty, boy.
I'll bet.
We got it hid in a swell place, too, boy. You'll never find it.
Who wants it? Where is it?
You're not allowed to tell. It's a club secret.
Okay, who wants to know anyway?
It was my idea. It's a neat one, too, boy.
Oh, hiya, fellas.
Hi, Pop.
Hiya, Pop. I might as well tell you, because you're going to find it out pretty soon anyway.
What's this?
Well, I'm treasurer of our club.
Big deal.
Oh, good for you.
I'm the only treasurer, too.
The only treasurer? How many presidents do you have?
Eight.
Eight presidents?
Sure. And six vice presidents, four secretaries, and two ghoulies.
What are ghoulies?
Well, it's a thing we made up. When we got through with the election, there were two members that weren't elected to anything. So we made up that they were ghoulies.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Every member of the club's an officer, huh?
Yep. And I'm the only treasurer.
Well, that's quite an honor.
Thanks, Pop.
I'd rather be a ghoulie.
I don't know about that, David. Being treasurer of a club's a big responsibility.
Oh, Pop.
Yes, it is. Shows that the other members of Ricky's club have a great deal of respect for him. Means that they trust him and consider him better qualified than anybody else for the responsibility of the position.
And besides, nobody else wanted the job.
Hey, you fellas had better hurry up.
Okay, Mom. Come on, money bags.
Okay, David. Cut the shoving.
So long.
So long.
Bye, boys.
Goodbye, boys.
What was the big discussion about?
Rick was telling me about some club he's in. Seems they've elected him treasurer.
Oh, speaking of treasurer, I have to run downtown for a few things. Do you have any money?
Money? Let's see.
You took $10 yesterday. Did you spend all of it, or don't you know?
Well, Harriet, I don't like the implications of that remark. I may act like I'm careless with money, and and look like I'm careless with money, and some people may think I'm careless with money. And you know why?
Because you're careless with money?
No, because I've always got it figured out in my head. I don't have to keep figuring and adding all the time. I know just how much money I've got in my pocket right now.
I believe you. I wasn't...
No, go ahead. Ask me how much I've got in my pocket.
But I told you...
Go ahead. Ask me.
How much money have you got in your pocket right now?
Thought you'd catch me, didn't you? Wait a second, I'll figure it out. Three and five. That's eight and 10 and 20. Exactly 38 cents.
Is that all you have, 38 cents?
Yeah, there it is. 20, 30, 35, 37. No, that's right, I weighed myself.
37 cents left out of $10. What'd you buy, an automobile?
No, it so happens I can explain every penny.
No, I was only kidding.
No, wait a minute, I'd rather. Let's see. First I went to the garage and had the car filled up with gas. That was 3.5.
6.5 to go.
Then I met Thorny. That cost me about $1.50. 2 cheese sandwiches, 2 chocolate malteds, 2 pieces of pie, and the check was under my plate. I think I was framed.
That's 5.
Then I went down to the Emporium and bought a shirt. They were on sale. That was 3.5. After that, I stopped in at the hardware store to get a padlock for the garage. Oh, I got a flashlight that shines red and green. That's something we need.
Oh, desperately.
What'd you say?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, I also found a set of wrenches for the car and a box of magic crystals for the fireplace. They make the fire burn all different colors. It's quite an idea. All that came to about $4.
What about the padlock?
Well, I'll pick that up next time. Then I stopped at the drugstore on the way home, and I bought some toothpaste and a can of shoe polish and some magazines, which came to a little over $2. There, you figure it up.
I have. I've been writing it down. Altogether, you spent about $15.
All right. $15? No. You must have made a mistake. I only had $10 with me. Let's see.
Gasoline, 3.5. Thorny and the sandwiches, $1.50.
Yeah, that's 5.
Shirt at the Emporium, 3.5. After that, temptation at the hardware store, $4.
That's 12.5.
And $2 and something at the drugstore, that makes it about 15. Not bad for starting out with $10. You know, some clerk must have given you too much change.
Say, that's it. That's exactly what happened. The girl at the Emporium gave me $5 too much change when I bought the shirt.
How do you know?
Well, I remember now. I gave her a $5 bill, and she gave me change for a 10. She was very busy, and she was waiting on 2 or 3 customers at the same time.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. In fact, I remember looking at my wallet and thinking I had too much money at the time. How about that? Gave me change for a 10 instead of a 5.
Well, I'm going downtown now. Why don't you go with me, and you can stop in and return the $5?
Right now, you mean?
It'll save a trip later.
Well, okay. The only thing, though...
I know, it isn't easy. We just have to remember it isn't our money.
Yes, I realize that. It's just...
Just what?
Do you have $5?
To shop here at the Emporium and then go across the street. Do you want to wait for me?
No, that's okay. Why don't you go ahead and I'll see you at home later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
So she says to me, he's a swell guy, but he never wants to take me out. And I said, well, that's the trouble. Oh, just a second. What can I do for you, sir?
Wasn't there another girl working at this counter yesterday?
Oh, yes, that's Ingrid Mahoney. She isn't here anymore.
Oh. Well, I bought a shirt here yesterday, and she made a mistake.
All adjustments are made on the 3rd floor upstairs. So she says to me, what would you do?
Pardon me.
Yes?
Well, this Miss Mahoney made a mistake in the change.
I'm sorry, but all adjustments are made on the 3rd floor upstairs. So she says to me, what would you do if you were me? Here she's going steady with this fellow who won't take her out, and another fellow's dying to take her out. So what's she going to do?
Tell her to go upstairs.
I beg your pardon?
All adjustments are made on the 3rd floor.
do you do, sir?
How do you do? Is this the adjustment office?
Yes, it is. Won't you sit down?
No, thank you.
Is there anything I can do for you?
My name is Nelson. I bought a shirt here yesterday, and the girl gave me the wrong change.
You're supposed to count your change before you leave the counter. There's a sign right there in black and white.
Well, yes, I know, but it happens I was in a hurry.
We can't be responsible if you're in a hurry.
No, I only...
Now, let's be cool and practical about this, sir. How do you know you didn't make a mistake?
Well, I checked and double-checked.
Perhaps you were confused.
No, I wasn't confused. I don't get confused about things like that.
Then why didn't you read the sign? We can't go making good every time somebody says he was short-changed.
No, I wasn't short-changed. I got $5 too much.
You weren't confused. You don't get confused.
No.
Do you know what you just said?
What?
You said the girl gave you $5 too much.
Well, that's right, she did.
Now I'm confused. You say you got $5 too much?
Yes, that's right.
Then what's your complaint?
Well, I want to return the $5.
What's your racket, bud?
I haven't got any racket. I came in here to give you back the $5.
A likely story. Mr. Nelson, do you think I believe for one moment that any human being with a mentality higher than an orangutan would return money to a department store?
Now, look, I didn't come here to be called an orangutan. Here's your $5. Goodbye.
Come back here. Don't you dare leave that $5 bill on my desk.
But that's the $5 the girl gave me.
You can't leave it here. You can't.
But I just told you it's your $5.
I never admitted it. You haven't got any witnesses.
Look, all I want to do is give you this money and go home. Now, here's your $5.
Now, look, Mr. Nelson, you can't do this to me.
Do what to you?
To Mr. Nelson, you look like a reasonable man. Try to see my side of it. The books are already balanced for yesterday. This $5 bill will throw them off. It'll be off for a month, for the semi-annual audit, for the yearly balance sheet. The auditors will be here at the end of the year, and here I am, unbalanced. They'll find out in a minute. You can't put anything over on those fellows. What'll I tell them? You can't leave that $5 here. You can't.
Oh, okay. If you feel that way about it, I'll keep the $5.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Nelson. If there's ever anything I can do for you in return...
No, that's all right. Just forget it.
Oh, here's a calendar. And a courtesy card entitling you to an hour's free parking.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Nelson, it's been a pleasure to meet a man as understanding and accommodating as you.
Oh, that's perfectly all right.
I hope you won't take it personally if I make a suggestion.
What's that?
Either count your change before you leave the counter or don't count it at all.
So I took the $5 and came home.
That's the silliest thing I ever heard of.
I argued with the man. I pleaded with him. After all, you can't force a man to accept money if he doesn't want to take it. He said it would mix up their accounting system. I even laid it on his desk and he threw it right back at me. Oh, here. Here's a calendar he gave me.
But why didn't you give the $5 to the girl who made the mistake originally?
Oh, didn't I tell you? She doesn't work there anymore. This is kind of a cute calendar at that.
Isn't it a shame?
This November isn't bad. Imagine skiing in a costume like that.
Firing a girl just because she gave you the wrong change.
Oh, say, that never occurred to me. You think she was fired?
She was there yesterday, and she gave you $5 too much change, and she's not working there today.
Oh, gee.
Poor girl.
Well, Harriet, it isn't my fault.
Oh, I know it. It's just a shame, that's all.
Hi, Pop. Hi, Mom.
Hello, boys.
Oh, hello, boys.
Something wrong, Pop?
No. Nothing really, David.
Well, some girl in a department store made a mistake and gave your father too much change, and she got fired for it.
Golly.
Poor girl.
Well, it wasn't my fault.
Well, of course not, dear. How could you help it?
Sure, how could you help it?
Why didn't you count your change?
I was in a hurry.
The girl probably had to make up the $5 and lost her job besides.
Ruth Armory was telling me about a girl who lost her job last week and tried to jump in the river.
David, this just happened yesterday. What's everybody making such a big thing about this? It wasn't my fault, and I went back to the store and tried to straighten it out. Now, let's all forget about it.
Can we go out, Pop?
Certainly. Go ahead.
Hey, David?
Yeah?
Let's go down the river and watch.
As we rejoin them, Ozzie's out in the backyard, staring into space, when along comes neighbor Thornberry.
Hi, Oz.
Oh, hello, Thorny.
What are you so worried about? You look as if you'd lost your last friend.
Honestly, Thorny, I can get in... No, you wouldn't be interested.
Oh, come on, Oz, cut it out. You know I'm always interested in anything.
It all started when I went down to the Emporium to buy a couple of shirts. As a sales girl who waited on me...
Just a minute, Oz. Maybe it's best that you don't tell me.
Well, you asked me to tell you, so now you're going to hear it whether you like it or not.
Okay, Oz, go ahead. You were saying this beautiful sales girl waited on you.
Yes, this beautiful Now, wait a minute. I didn't say that. Anyway, I bought a white shirt, and this girl gave me $5 too much change. I don't know why I didn't catch the mistake at the time.
I understand, Oz. You don't have to explain.
Understand what?
Fight it, Oz, old boy.
Fight what?
This mad infatuation.
Look, Thorny. All I did was to go in and buy a white shirt.
It's very obvious. You don't have to explain to me. There's a bit of the mad beast in every man, but you've just got to fight it.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Did you read this month's Cosmopolitan?
No, I didn't.
Well, maybe it was last month's. Anyway, there was a story there, and the parallel is amazing.
Look, Thorny.
Fight it, Oz.
I don't want to fight it. The whole thing is ridiculous.
Did Harriet suggest that you find out the girl's name and give back the $5?
No, she didn't.
There you are.
Where am I?
Well, she understands. She sees the danger. Oz, we got to face it. Ever since the beginning of time, women have had intuition about these things. Now, you take this story I was reading in the American Weekly.
No, it was Cosmopolitan.
No, this was a different one. It seems there was this girl and this man...
Now, Thorny, wait a minute, will you please? Before you change the subject, you really think that Harriet might be a little... you really think so?
Well, if she didn't, wouldn't she be the first to suggest that you find out where this girl lives and take the money over to her? Well, she'd come right out and say...
Ozzie?
Yes?
Oh, hello, Thorny. Ozzie, you know, I've just been thinking this thing over. Why don't you find out where this girl lives and take the money over to her?
Well, that's a wonderful idea, Harriet. Only thing is, you just set women's intuition back 2,000 years.
I can't understand it.
Well, don't look so disappointed, Thorny. Fight it, old boy. Fight it. Pardon me.
Oh, what can I do for you, sir?
Well, there was a girl working here yesterday named Ingrid Mahoney.
Yes?
Well, could you give me her name and address?
Her name and address?
Oh, I mean, I have her name, but I want her address.
Say, weren't you the same fellow who was here this morning asking about Ingrid?
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, it may interest you to know she's going steady.
Well, I don't care about that.
Gee, a regular caveman.
So all I want is Ingrid Mahoney's address.
Why is it as soon as a girl goes steady, all the fellas get interested in her?
Well, I don't know, but that isn't what I have in mind.
You can find lots of girls who aren't going steady. I'm not going steady.
I'm afraid you misunderstand. You see, I'm already married.
Oh. Do you by chance ever read Cosmopolitan magazine?
I'm familiar with the story you're talking about, but really, I'm here on strictly a business matter.
Oh, darn. Why is it every wolf I meet turns out to be a cocker spaniel?
Would you please listen to me for a moment? I bought a shirt here yesterday.
Well, the adjustment department...
I've already been upstairs to the adjustment department. All I want now is to find out where this girl lives so I can give her back the $5. It's as simple as all that.
Oh, yes, I see.
Good.
But if I were you, sir, I'd stick to the caveman line. It works much better with us girls.
See, that's a good idea. Now, listen, babe. You got Ingrid Mahoney's address?
Oh, yes, sir.
Give it to me.
Yes, sir. 25 Chestnut Street.
Thanks. So long, Tuts.
Oh, Hyman, you're so big and strong. That's why I love you, Hyman.
Say you love me again, Ingrid.
I love you, Hyman.
Say it again.
I love you, Hyman.
Say it again.
I love you, Hyman.
I don't believe it.
But I do, Hyman. Believe me, I do.
Look, if I ever catch any other guy looking at you, I will tear him in half like this.
Hyman, not another telephone book.
You see, I love you more than anything. Honest, I do.
Well, I'm very flattered to be sure, but I wish you would control your jealousy, Hyman. It's getting to be very embarrassing.
I can't help being jealous of you. You know that, Ingrid. If only I could submerge my physical side. But it's no use. When I see another man interested in you, I just go...
Hyman, please, not the classified! Hyman.
Who could that be?
Quite sure I don't know. Come in, the door is open.
I beg your pardon, is Miss Ingrid Mahone... Oh, there you are.
Ingrid, what is the meaning of this?
Honest, Hyman, I never seen him before.
Well, yes, don't you remember me from the store yesterday? The 33 sleeve, 16 neck...
Look, I tell you, this man is a stranger.
Well, yes, in a way, but don't you remember at the store yesterday, I gave you a five, and you evidently gave me change for a ten. Weren't you $5 short in your accounts?
I was no such a thing.
Are you sure?
Well, naturally I'm sure. And now, if you don't mind... You have made Hyman cry.
Now, please believe me, Hyman. Herman. I tell you, she was just another girl to me.
She was?
Oh, of course. It's just that to you she seems so irresistible.
You sure?
Oh, of course. To other men, she's just an ordinary girl like thousands of... Miss Mahoney!
Ingrid!
Miss Mahoney! Ow! Please!
Ozzy?
Yeah?
Well, what happened?
Well, I couldn't force the $5 on her. She says she doesn't remember me and she doesn't know anything about any shortage.
Well, that's funny. How could $5 mysteriously pop into your wallet? Ozzy, what's that under your arm?
It's a box of candy for you.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Yeah, I had to chase all over town to find one that cost exactly $5. I figured it's $5 found money and I might as well blow it in on my best girlfriend.
Oh, what a lovely thought, dear. Oh, soft centers. Isn't that lucky? Your favorite kind.
Oh, they're good, too.
Oh, yes. Ricky told me to remind you that his club is meeting here today. Are you a member or something?
Oh, no. You know how kids are. If it's important to him, he thinks it's important to everybody. I think I'll try one of those long ones now.
Oh, there you are, Pa.
Oh, hello, Rick. Here, have some candy.
Gee, thanks, Pa.
Boy, these candies are good. Oh, what is it, son?
Do you have your wallet in your pocket?
Well, yes, I do. Why?
Remember I told you I was the club treasurer?
Yeah. What about it?
We have $5 in the treasury, and I put it in your wallet so I wouldn't lose it. Can I have it back now?
Filibuster your club for a while. Your dad's trying to cough up $5.
We sure got that $5 just in time, didn't we?
We sure did. The fellows were getting tired listening to me stalling them off.
Well, you see, that shows you what resourcefulness can do. I don't like to brag, but when your old dad's up against it, you can usually depend upon him to figure out some way.
Hey!
What's that?
Oh, it's only David. I guess he just found out what happened to his piggy bank.
Company and starring Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard.
And remember, Heinz soups are condensed. You get twice as much soup by adding an equal part of milk or water.
That suits me fine.
Me too. I like a lot, boy.
Appearing in support of Ozzie and Harriet were their two sons, David and Ricky Nelson, John Brown, Sarah Berner, Sheldon Leonard, Paula Winslow, Frank Nelson, and yours truly, Vern Smith. Original music was composed and conducted by Billy May.
So long, folks. This is Ozzie saying goodnight for the four Nelsons and the 57 varieties.
Ozzie and Harriet on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast heard on April 25th, 1952 on ABC. Bringing to an end this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.